tell one right on this new reel. I'm beginning with a visit with Gorman and Suzanne, Carol, and the little English girl this Saturday late, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel 1 right. Channel 1 right. And I'm beginning the visit with Gorman.
Ah, see why that old reprobate wouldn't come out of that.
Oh, well.
Where you got in here?
There.
Oh, I don't blame him. I wouldn't have come out either.
Have a chair.
That's what I'm telling you. There's a floating crap game going on out
there. Oh, yeah. It
might be, but we're not telling. We've been collecting vegetables.
Collecting vegetables. Who's going to do the cooking?
Me.
You?
Partly. We're going to split them up three ways.
Split up cooking. What you got out there? Turnips? Mustard?
We got everything.
I see.
You can...
You hadn't gotten my letter.
No, Faye told me. She said...
Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, man, alive.
You done... What have you done told me?
Huh?
I went over to read it.
I went over. Buck Johnson and everybody else.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, what you, go ahead. I'll tell you about that later. What
are
you talking about?
We're just talking about the vegetables that I'm going to cook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're
going to fry on you?
Oh, but tell
well,
everybody.
That's the ones we just got. We didn't get them out of our garden. We got them over at this party.
Party. It's got shown up garden over there. But don't say that in front of Jim, because he's done a good job. He hurt his feelings. He's not proud of that garden. And I'm going to tell you, I believe if Jim hadn't took a hold of it, I don't believe it would have been nothing. You know, these eggheads, these old professors that don't know nothing but books,
let me tell you. Now,
you see, I know that I'd get
leave,
it right.
Let's leave that out of here.
All right.
We owe it Cecil Pardee's, and he's truck farming.
Oh, he's truck farming.
And he really got the stuff.
I'm going to tell you about my preacher buddy and my brother. See, my brother was a deacon.
Okay.
And they're going to have them a garden together.
Oh, really?
And I have to put these all in about the same category. See, they get it all started. Boy, when they get this spring seed catalog and these pretty pictures, and the spring sets in, the sap rises, they got more energy than you ever saw. So the sun gets hot and they got to get up and cultivate and start sweating, that's when they lose the interest. The doc takes all this serious. He takes all this serious.
I thought you. Let me tell you, let's leave the academic side out.
See? Yeah, he takes it all serious.
That's what we're doing out here, trying to get outside of the academic side. Now, if you want to come out here and pull us back, you see, that's the hardship on us.
That's the hardship.
Let me tell you, I thought your brother was a roughneck.
Which brother?
Over at the Chieftain.
I'm the roughneck. You talk about, now, Doc, you went over there, and you're going to learn a lot of things. It's like I trying to get a date with this girl one time, and she kept saying, now, you're not going to take her off and get her in the wrong crowd. Director, she says, oh, mother, hush, he is the wrong crowd. What are you talking about? I'm the black sheep. I'm the one that, if you hear anything bad about that name over there, you can lay it to me.
Can he farm and take care of himself?
Who, BT? My brother?
Yeah.
He does a good job of farming.
Yes.
Well, he does a good job of
it. Well, how'd he get in with the preacher?
Well, he's a deacon.
Well.
He's going to garden, see. Now, he's got half a section of land in there. He's got some that's worth $1,000 an acre. And they grow the finest cattle you ever looked at, and the finest corn when they come. They buy all their vegetables.
Yeah.
I asked this lady at the country store on there was out in West Florida. She had dry lima beans. She had sweet potato. She had all this stuff, green vegetables. I said, who do you sell this to? I said, these farmers around you. There's nobody else around you.
There they are.
So that's what I say. See, people farming don't grow gardens.
Well, now, who is Cecil selling to?
He says people just drive up his yard and ask for the stuff. He said he had cars in Illinois and Ohio and Iowa.
And lots of people from Jacksonville, too.
He said they come down there and they load up the back end of the car with vegetables and they ship their luggage home and they drive back with the vegetables.
Is that right?
And I guess he just sends and tells them which row has what in it and lets them go out and pick it. Because I don't think he picks it all. I think he may pick some, but I think a lot of times he just sends them out.
Just let them pick their own.
He said, some lady said, well, how do you tell the difference between black-eyed peas and crowded peas? And he said, lady, if you don't know the difference, it won't matter.
Same anyway.
So we just send them out, let them pick.
I don't know if he's got any little acre peas over there.
We went through row by row and he didn't mention them, no. I could prepare the bet he didn't
mention
them.
Black eyed peas.
Yeah.
Crowder peas.
Some other kind of peas.
Speckled butter beans. White butter beans.
You got a ham hock around here anywhere, Doc? A smoked ham hock? I don't mean it.
He loaded us up with the snap beans. He let us pick them. And then we walked about halfway down three rows and got a big old bucket about halfway full before we got hot.
Where you got it?
You picked your own?
Yeah.
Where's your trunk key?
And he told us, he said, there's a meat market down the road, and you just go get about three ham hocks for each pot of beans, and you cook them up.
You gonna make the cornbread?
Yeah, and cornbread.
How do you know how to make cornbread? You do?
Yeah, I learned that early.
Did you? What was that, the new bride told me they had the first cake, you know, she made the first cake. And he says, honey, it's delicious, you're using the same mix mother used. Make biscuits, you're good at it, huh? You pop that can and roll them out.
Did you get to talk to him? Any?
Well, yeah, we sat down there in the yard and he brought out three lawn chairs for us and we just sat down there and he talked for about an hour, I guess, he and his wife.
Well, now he has done everything. And he's actually done it.
He's done a few things.
Who is that, son?
He's from Pardee. He lives out there at the Shiloh Crossroads.
I'm from Pardee, but I can't.
Right south of Mickey.
Have you ever made moonshine?
Since he's built, yes.
What do you mean, ever made?
I imagine he's had a hand in it.
No, he didn't talk much about that.
Didn't talk much about moonshine?
Oh, he didn't?
No, he talked about the garden and he told us. He was talking about the lady lived on the corner, and he talked about young people not having living in town. He said they didn't have anything to do, but they had lots of energy, and so they had to get rid of it somewhere. I mean, the pictures really weren't enough. He says, now what they ought to do is come out here and work for a while.
Work all that energy.
And he talked about his garden. He didn't talk too much about what he's done. Just the garden, mostly.
He lived a rough life.
Gathered that.
Rough party.
You can tell a rough joke.
Oh, yeah. He don't do anything the easy way. They had watermelons in the back pasture there, and he did most of the work for Bill Wynn. Bill Wynn had them. And when it come time to put the fertilizer out, they brought the big trailer out there, trailer thing. And then they had a little 6-ton trailer, some such thing, to pull behind the tractor. And he loaded it right up to the rim. Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, people, it ain't far from that field back there, up to here to where the fertilizer is. You don't have to bust an axle and beat down the ground so it'll never be the same again. But he did. And he got that old rugged John Deere tractor. I don't know what you call it. But it's high. You need a stepladder to get up on it.
That big green one
there? Yeah.
Oh, 2 cylinder job.
Yeah.
Putt, they are strong.
Oh, they are. And you got to be strong to put that plow on it. Hook it up.
He had about four plows hooked up when we saw. He said there was
need a little old light tractor like this Ford for that. He don't need that great big.
He suggested Joe come out and work for him and work off that surplus energy. I think he had a good idea.
Who's gonna get it, you know?
Gorman, I run into the most extraordinary people over there. Yes, I don't know all their names by any means. But now, Buck Johnson, I didn't get too much talk out of him. He was.
He's pretty busy.
Yeah. But while he is working on an old truck to get it through the inspection center, I went there next door.
It was a little restaurant?
Yeah. And the man that runs that, he's.
Who run that man? He changed his hand.
Sort of a young fella.
Oh, I think that's one of those Osteen boys.
And, let me see. He talked, I forget. And then the Ford tractor man drove up in front of Buck Johnson. He had a great, big, huge, brand new Ford 3000 on it. Delivering it. And I talked to him about some of the little equipment that they turned in, you know. And he talked like they reworked it. And you know, find something for you.
Yeah, they will. But what do you need with a tractor you got?
They stay broke down.
Yours stay broke down?
Yeah.
Ain't you got a pretty new rig out there? That new bog, they mean they stay bogged down, though. Yeah.
No, they stay broke down. They break down. Well, if I had a good mechanic a hold of it for half a day, I think they'd do a lot better. And,
you know, Bully out here, he put it for it to run. Stay run.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have him seduce over Harrison to come out here.
That's yes, but he's not interested in farm life.
He ain't it. I mean, get him out here. You'd have to pay him, get him out here to work on your tractor. You'd have to seduce him.
Why? But you couldn't. Yes, you'd have to have vegetables or something like that.
He might come for vegetables. I don't know. I might get bullied. What seems to be the trouble with it? Just is it a major thing or a minor?
Well, the little one needs overhauling, and the big one is just wore out in several spots.
Several spots. That little tractor we went down there, little Ford with a 3-point hitch, needs overhauling?
Yeah. It got no compression, won't pull. Well, it put out fertilizer.
How many hours you got them? Did you buy it new?
No, it was a generation old. It had raised the family too when I got it.
You can make this crop with it, but just cut. Tell us its oil capacity. How many quarts of oil does it hold?
I have no idea.
How often do you change it?
I don't change it very often. Well, I change it. I change it enough, but I don't know how often.
What's enough?
Well, it's not black. It's pretty thick.
It don't matter on the farm tractor. Change the oil in it and put you a couple of cans of STP in it. That'll improve your compression until you can get this crop made.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the man I ran into there was, he was sitting at the...
You didn't run into old Cecil Ryle, did you?
No.
I wish you had.
Where
he couldn't have got over that.
Where's he?
He's retired. He runs up and down the streets trying. He's my sidewalk superintendent. Cecil's. I don't know what old Cecil's worth. $500,000, I suppose.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it?
His wife, Bess, is a postmistress there, has been for years. Cecil is an automobile dealer and farmer and everything else. He's a mess. He can tell you all the local yokels gossip from the day they was born. I mean, the second and third generation.
Yeah.
Anything else. Will aggravate me to death. I'll be a building zone. up over there and see if he was standing around. He and my daddy was good close friends. And he always talking about old times, what they was into. I said, "You mean what you was into, Susie? You and my uncle." "Yeah, the uncle was hell, wasn't he?" I says, "Yeah, he was." He big old Irishman, you know, a Irish German. Loved to fight. He's gonna get drunk, you know, get up town and get drunk. He'd always have to drive. Had a little free trail road going through this stuff and saw me over there. He'd get around. "What's the matter, El? Them trees ain't never been in that road before." He said, "He's so drunk, he'd see it took trees."
Well, now, was that just on Saturday?
Most of the time, they just get drunk on Saturday, on payday. So he's paid off every Saturday.
Yeah.
And, he'd get pretty well. He and Cecil Ryle, W.J. Tate, Hope Coulson, and old Hope about dead. They'd all get drunk. If they didn't fight, they'd usually wind up out in Swanee Hammock somewhere.
Right.
"I want you to go on down and meet big Chris Anderson and sit down there. He'll tell you. He'll." That's Cecil Ryle. But I mean, go on. You should have went on Fanning Spring. You remember reading about the little girl drowned last year? She was a young teacher, Kathy, down at Miami, and they had the teachers meeting down there.
Yes, at one of the hotels.
At one of the hotels, yeah. Well, she lived there, Fanning. She's teaching at Girl City. Well, I guess one time I was old, big Chris shook up when that happened. Mm-hmm. He loved the little girl just about like his one of his daughters. Kathy was a sweet thing, just as bubbling over with energy. As smart as a whip. But now, if you want to hear some wild tales, he can tell you. He was David the Sheriff in Dixie County.
That's the man, yes.
You know, Kirby,
yes,
Chris.
Yeah.
Well, and his brother Frank was sheriff for years. That's back when you bought the town.
Yeah.
And you hijacked your labor. You can still buy Dixie County. You can buy an election over there.
Yeah.
In fact, we put our senator, Ed Usher, in. It took $10,000 to get him in.
Oh, it did.
They don't have old machines. It cost the other three guys $10,000 to put him in.
Oh, I see. It's more than county. That's true.
Yeah. Well, now then, they combined. We've got a lot of weight in it now. No. It's
no.
Just in the senators.
Yeah.
We lost our senators. Lotchewood County got him. I lost my old buddy, Red Crow. He got beat. But now Chris will tell you some hair razors. And there's another old fella down there. I don't know. I just met Stoney about 2 years ago. He's head of Castleton Farm. He's an old, I don't know how old Stoney is. He didn't tell me. Martin Stone.
Where'd they get him?
He come from Kentucky. He was one of the champion race drivers, you know, his little sulky carts. Back when he was coming up, but he had a wreck. Stoney don't talk much about that, but he's a horse trainer there in Castleton.
Yeah. Well, now, two of that blacksmith was out here and got Cookie's two horses.
Oh, they
did? Yeah, two young fellas. They worked 3 days a week over at Castleton Farm.
Worked 3 days a week over there?
Yeah, live in Gainesville. I said, "Why do you live in Gainesville?" They said they couldn't find a place to live in Trenton.
Hard to find unless you rent one of the mobile homes.
I said, "Well, what's wrong with our trailer?" The little girl was with them, and she said she just didn't care for the trailer.
Particularly, it's like walking in one direction all the time. But I got caught up. Leaving in Atlanta, and I was coming down to Jacksonville, and we'd had a party there at Waycross. If I'd had a Florida tag on my car, I wouldn't have got out of Georgia, but I got just over in Hilliard. And I had $100 and some change in my pocket. And a half a pint of whiskey, so it cost me my $100. I had to go to the Hilliard jail. And it was one of them long, narrow ones.
Was it nice in it?
Well, they waited until 4 hours was up, and it took $100. You got to stay 4 hours, see. They can't legally charge you with drunk unless they keep you 4 hours.
Oh.
They didn't have no blow in the bag test. It was a jip town.
Yeah.
You have $2 and something like that.
Oh, yeah. Was he good natured about it?
Yeah, friendly to me. He said I wouldn't buy him breakfast if it wasn't so broke. I says, I'll tell you where to go. Says, I ain't a go. Heard it before. Yeah,
now, where was that idiot?
That was an idiot.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. He goes, I bought that pint of whiskey. I said, but I ain't drinking none of it yet. He says, you ain't going to. I don't want to keep it too.
Oh, you lost some dough?
Lost my $100 and a pint of whiskey.
Oh, you should have shut his eyes for $100, you know.
At least give me a drink of it. Kind of helped me bear my misery.
Oh, that's rotten.
Oh, me.
Now this, you hadn't had much to say to this Stoner then.
Stoney? Oh, he's Stoney. We didn't wrangle every time we get together, but as I say, Stoney don't talk much about his background, except his horse training. He loves horses. Oh, yeah. And he must be a mighty good trainer. He's strictly a horseman of up in high echelon.
They have harness horses over there.
Harness horses, that's right.
Oh, that'd be nice for a change, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
and not be sitting
on
one all the time.
Be sitting on one. But I don't want to ride that close to that horse's hoof. See, you sitting right there and feet just fly.
Not the hoof so much.
Well, that's the only thing going to knock your head off. I said when I got through the
Don't they have to hold on to the tail or something or tie it or something?
Yeah, they have to dock it and tie it.
Yeah, dock it.
They have horse races every, I think it's every Friday night over out in Jacksonville, Orange Race. You like horse racing.
Now this is Charlie Round?
Cecil Round.
Cecil Round.
His brother Jack.
And
old Cecil will take up a lot of time because that's all he's got. And he does love to talk. And Chris Anderson, if you ever get over there, you can even go see old Chris. He's a great big fella.
Well, now, your uncle?
He's dead.
But they talk about him.
Well, yeah. Talk about me, too, if you get him started. Not too complimentary.
Well, when I brought your name up, Buck just sort of...
He kind of eyed you.
Yeah.
He inspected your car, though, didn't he? Did he say something about that thing leaking over there?
I waited till afterwards.
Till afterwards.
I'll tell you who I run into. There's a man in the drugstore there, the pharmacy. Roger's pharmacy.
Roger.
He was sitting at one of those little ice cream tables with his hat on. And he just... And turning it around, licking it on all sides, ice cream cone.
Old man Rogers, you said?
No.
I speak to him.
No. And I'll tell you, I thought to myself, that's some of these fellas around here haven't gotten much. Trying to make the best of that ice cream. But I went up, I was going to get a candy bar. But I saw that, and so I just got an ice cream cone too. She said 11 cents, 21 cents. Mm-hmm. Well, she had 11 cents, so I just took that. And I started walking around the drugstore. And then I came to, I said, well, why in the world am I walking around the drugstore pricing things? I don't want to buy anything. Why don't I go over there where they're talking? So I ambled back on over there, and he had started talking then to the two women. They were young women who were at the fountain. They were kind of sad looking. They didn't encourage him, tried not to, I thought. I didn't know what in the world he was talking about, but I heard the word protein.
Protein.
And I said, "Why?" I said, "You don't mean protein." And he turned, just dropped those women, and looked at me. Just looked like he'd been expecting me and surprised me. And we talked about protein in those ice cream cones for half an hour. Why, he makes them. He does it. He manufactures them.
Manufactures them, cool.
And he also sells them. I asked him what was his beat, the state of Florida.
Who?
Galbraith. Uncle Jim Galbraith.
Old man Jim Galbraith.
And he
drinks bees.
And he sort of pushed his hat back and said, "You see, I'm just 89.
89.
I said, "You do that all yourself," and he went into that. But then he got into East Tennessee. He comes to East Tennessee up around Clinton. That's where I used to live up there, too. And his daddy used to had a 15-team farm right there where one of those dams is now. And he said he still couldn't see covering up that land. He said they never used fertilizer. They just flooded. And they'd grow most of them and get out. And Mr. Rogers come back over there then, and he spoke to him, so then I knew who Mr. Rogers was. And there was a pair of shears there, tongs, clippers, heavy things. And I said, "What in the world do you use these for?" And he used them for, that's all they need, just some little something. And so we went up there and looked at his hardware. He got hardware in one corner. And I learned one thing, that you don't have to buy these little old axes that are put on a handle. It's almost like a toothpick now. You can get a good one. But he says, I take a 6-pound axe. Because then when you let it down, it'll stay. And that's been my experience with an axe. This little old light axe, you can't get it in there. It'll bounce out. And he'd go and get me one. And he said if I got back over there Friday week, he'd have it for me. I don't know how I'm going to get back, but...
Mm-hmm. Chrysler won't run. What'd you care where I can get inspected? That old red Chrysler? Bud and paste, that thing?
Why, he didn't even look at it fine. I had a whole set of brand new tires on it.
Oh, did you?
Retreads.
Yeah, but what about your suspension? Is it all right?
Yeah.
What's your brake?
Buster had worked on that last 4 or 5
Who
months
did?
Ago.
Buster. Cookie?
No.
What's happened to Cookie?
He quit work, as far as I can see.
Did he go out to university?
Mm-hmm.
Driving a truck?
Tractor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tractor, huh?
Plowing up our front yard out there.
Oh, that's that. He's plowing up Tigard Hall?
Tigard Hall and in front of the library. And he was out there yesterday on the tractor, moving it out.
Old man Rogers. Now, what's he good for? He got a section of land?
Old man, which Rogers?
Pharmacy.
Oh, drugstore Rogers? He got some land. I don't know how much he got. He come there some years ago. Rogers had some controversy. He got tangled up with he was selling too much coal syrup around the cherry coal, with opium in it.
You're joking.
Yeah, picking the cherry coal syrup, the best in the world. You have to sign for it now, though, like Paragard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they like to heist his license, but the townspeople kind of got together. Saved him, so he's been a pretty good fella since. Now, you know, back yonder when the old church going ladies, they couldn't drink. They lambasted those folks what did, but they all had the rheumatism, so they'd have to take a lot of Piruna. Well, then some fella named LeBlanc, he come out with a new one. Let's see, what'd they call that? Hattie Cole?
Yeah.
And they had to take a lot of Hattie Cole. Well, 2 tablespoonfuls of that's equal to a good shot of the best booze. They eventually made him have to set it through the way he had to have wine and beer license to sell any coal.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. So that cherry coal cough syrup, it's good.
Yeah.
But it's got a good bit of opium in it.
Yeah.
It'll just soothe that coughing down, right? But if you take 3 or 4 good shots of it, it gives you a pretty good... pretty good little stimulated feeling there.
Yeah.
A lot of those people was getting hooked on cherry coal.
Yeah.
Brother Roger like got himself in trouble selling too much cherry coal and cough syrup.
Yeah.
But he straightened up. He's a pretty good fella. Kind of dry and hatchet feet. I
Well, now, Mr. Galvis talked like it wasn't anything old man Rogers didn't know.
There ain't much old man Rogers don't know. Old man Galvis either to give them tests. Or Cecil Rowell. But you know, Doc, as I say, these people that think they know it all really bug us that do. Now, that's what...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He knows about an axe.
Yeah, well...
I've felt melancholy.
You did?
I have. I'd go to these stores and they'd have them axes there. And well, there's no use taking them home.
Doc, who in the Sam Hill ever heard tell of buying an axe to use? You buy the axe for your wife to use. She can't handle no 6 and 7 pound axe. They can't handle no 7 pound axe. You ain't going to use that axe. She's going to have to use it.
Well, where I come from, the children always use the axe. Mm-hmm. Not on the kindling,
Cut the kindling.
Yeah.
It's you in Indian country now. I see them Indians had a good thing going. The white men had to come over here and mess it up. Had the squaws doing all the work, you know, and all they done was hunted a little bit, sat around the fire and drank fire water and talked big. And the women done the plowing and the hoeing and the ground the corn and skint what little bit to kill and done all the work. The men sat around the fire and done all the big talking.
You know, I have a feeling my troubles would be over if I just got to talk to any one of those fellas, Old Man Rowell or Galvis, except Old Man Galvis been in this country since 1925.
Yeah, he's been around family since Sacramento. Well, yeah, he had girls big family. I remember that old man off and on as far back as I can remember. He's been around there for years. He's a fixture.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He comes there all the time?
Yeah, but he's lived around there around Trenton for years.
Well, now, this man lives in Tampa. The man with ice cream cones.
Oh, that may be another one.
That's another one. But he comes through there, and he got a brother up at...
up around Bell.
High Springs.
Oh, High Springs, yeah.
My Galbert.
My Galbert, yeah.
And, but now Cecil Rowell, and who else?
Well, then Chris Anderson down there.
Yeah. He's down at Tupac.
No, Fannin.
Well, any one of them would just about...
Charlie Adkins, he'd get you that Jeep and ride you all over them woods around.
Yeah. That's, any one of them, that's all I need.
Charlie hadn't raised, didn't live what you'd call a very heavy Christian life.
Did they all play the chickens, what do they call it?
Play the...
cockfighting.
No, that bunch, they never did do that.
They didn't do that.
No, up around St. Augustine, and there's where you have your rooster fights.
I see.
That bunch plays a lot of poker down on the river. They still play a lot of poker. Gambling the end of it, but they run the bug quite extensively down there. They do everywhere they do here. They call it Cuba, Bolita, whatever.
Well,
there's a lot of moonshine in those woods down there. Like old Charlie, they had been pretty tight on him, and he had a pretty good operation. He'd moved it. He had one of those portable pumps. He'd move it from creek to creek. You know, water is the limiting factor in making moonshine.
And sugar.
Now, they was getting the sugar. He was getting the sugar out of Cuba. That was kind of...
So they had that pretty well.
Had that pretty well sewed up. He was getting a tractor-trailer rig of sugar in every week, and he was carrying out a tractor-trailer full of whiskey. He, Charlie wasn't no slouch. He was in it big. But he'd sent Rodney, his stiller, down with his big still, see, and they were going to set up at a new creek, a new water hole, a new pump. Well, they'd been pretty tight on him. They'd been using airplanes, and my brother-in-law had. But he thought it was all over. They kind of got us. But he started out, saw this little airplane buzzing around out there south where he lived. know where we saw him out at the commissary at the office.
Yeah.
He jumped in his car, white car. He was heading down at a cut rod in the office. He tell him to not set up that day. He was just a fly. He gets down in a couple of road patrol and Washington stop. See driver's license, he gave him the driver's license. He was going pretty fast, Mr. Charlotte. We're going to have to give you a ticket. Says, what do you mean going pretty fast? How fast was I going? Well, you was hitting 100 when we clocked you. When the hell you clocked me? They're cleaning up that car. Is that what that thing is? Oh, hell, he said. Turn around and went back home. Give him $35 and turn around and went back. Well, give him $50 bill and don't keep change. There's no, we can't do that, Mr. Charlie.
You know, I tell you what, I really.
He is happy over the fact that one of the beverage boys played.
I think that's hilarious.
They knew it.
No, they didn't know it. They didn't know what Charlie was at. He just says, oh, hell, and handed him a $50 bill and said, keep change. Said, no, Mr. Charlie, we can't do that. I gave him back $15 and he went on back home. He didn't go ahead. Oh, Charlie,
I
say.
I'm not an operator, I understand that, but I remember the first time I was observed by one of those planes up there, I didn't notice it. And there was a fertilizing truck out here. And he went across that flat down there. He didn't have a tread on his tires. He didn't have enough load or something. He didn't quite make it. Oh, he worked himself. Spreader.
Oh, yeah.
And he worked himself to death to get that thing out. He kind of thinks some way to do it. You know, a lot of these are rough fellas. They don't want to do it. Either way, he says, you can call the fire department. What do they call it? The fire service.
The fire service.
And tell him you, I forget what he said, tell him. Well, anyhow, I done what he said. I come up here and call the tower there. And he said, what I said, but somebody was stuck out here and had a little trouble. They sent that little plane over. And what they did was telephone out there to Buster Mountain and make an opening, tell him there's some fella stuck over there by Miles' ranch.
Miles' ranch, and it's Miles himself.
And I didn't hear about it. I didn't know what happened for some time. And Buster jumped me. He says, I looked around over there and I didn't see anybody. Of course, I was back in the field. They didn't give the quad of it, you see. And when I found that out, I was really put out.
Did they pull your car out?
No, they didn't. He finally, we came right up here and sat and cussed and drank a little coffee. He said he found that if he just sort of, when he got in trouble like that, if he just sort of settled down a few minutes, some would come to him. And we went back there and used the same methods we'd used before and got right.
Got right.
But now, I have found that there's a whole lot better ways of getting out than that hard way they have. One of those little come-alongs, you see.
Mm-hmm.
All you need when you're stuck is just a little help, Gorman.
You got something up yonder, a hook to come along.
Well, you can set a post or something.
I see, if you got a post out yonder. But where you stuck us out there that day on that tractor? No, we stuck in that Chrysler. They won't no post. Hooks don't come along with it. So we have to get, I believe you brought the tractor down there, didn't you?
Jim did.
Oh, Jim did.
Early, you put it in second, it boom! I can see all the cars going. We're down all the way up here.
I like finally. Oh, I was carrying a little old girl's mail.
Oh,
bridge across Santa Fe River up there, and he's building it, but they didn't have no sign saying there wasn't no bridge up there. And the fellow driving a dog, he's doing flat 100 when he saw there wasn't no bridge across that river. And I don't know how he, but he got it stopped, man. Eventually, we'll have a sandbank, and everybody was too scared to try to dig it out. Eventually, got it dug down to where the, you know, the it was clear. It was sitting sort of almost straight down, and everybody get on the back bumper and hold it down, and I drive her down. Better turn it loose if it flipped over, it wouldn't hurt you, because no steel at all. When you get off like that, Doc, you figure a way out right fast, because
if you get
caught, well, you're going to get killed. That's all it is. Somebody's daddy's going to shoot you.
Buck talks like you weren't doing the awnings now.
Yeah. Hey, Buck, that's what I said. I never let that fella down there. What I'm going to do?
Yeah.
Keep him guessing. No, I don't know. Gambling with some investments.
Well, I told him that last time I heard you talk, you were in touch with the Atlanta finance people. And I didn't know how you came out.
Well, they still don't want to come down here with no short-range financing.
Oh, I see.
No, they don't want to go nowhere with it. Discount rate went back up.
Yeah.
It come down 6%, but it went back up. Come down 5. Went back up 7. That's hurt. How about, don't you want to put out a lot of your money in a 10-year mortgage?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Is
they'll
that what you, it takes?
They'll get you 10%.
Oh, well, probably could do it.
But I need about $250,000.
Yeah. And you need all of that. You need the whole thing.
Well, I'll be, you know, it'll take a couple of years to get all that out. That'll put us in business.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Wouldn't that be pretty good? How about Cecil?
Cecil Rowell owns half of Trenton, and he wouldn't give you $50 to see Jesus Christ walk across the aisle. He don't want to make no more money. Like old man Justice Williams, he don't want to make no more money. Because if I do, I'll have to pay taxes, and I've done paid them all I ever want to pay. So they just...
Well, now, that's like the boy you said down at Williston, wasn't it?
Quite hurt. They still want to make money.
We drove along there, or was that Chiefland? Somewhere along there. I thought it was Williston. And they drove on the left there. And the boy said, you know, they're talking about improving the place. And he said,
oh, that's Chiefland.
Is that Chiefland?
Williston, the same way.
Same way.
Yeah, that's Hal Rutland. I don't know. He's a young fella, he's city councilman. His daddy and mama and the Peacock family. They own a big chunk of, I guess, Laura and Peacock and the Rutland clan worth a little over $1 million land and holdings. And little old towns are dying, and that bunch wouldn't spend 15 cents to improve it, and it's naturally going to continue. You know, a trend is a funny thing. Once a trend starts, it continues. You take a ball team, it'll start to get hit a losing streak. It'll continue to lose for no particular reason. If it's a winning streak, it'll continue to win for no particular reason. That's true of life.
Yeah.
My contention's always been, if you got bad luck, the harder you work, the better your luck gets. But sometimes that isn't always true. But when a town starts a decline, unless something happens, unless you've got to modernize it. People have a tendency to move out and they don't support it.
Yeah.
And you take a little old depreciated town like Williston, Cross City, Chiefland, any of those little suburban towns, they'll continue to decline until they just completely dry up. There'll be nothing. Trenton. Trenton's a good example.
Yeah.
It's a thriving little community.
Could be.
But you look at those old dilapidated buildings and in. There's nobody's gonna but until somebody.
Well, the thing of it is, see, they can't make any money. Nobody can make a living there.
Yeah.
Now, what about that farmers' exchange there? Farmers.
That little farmers' exchange, well, it's a co-op, and I know the one that's a branch of that. Which it is a branch of the one in Chief.
Oh, is it? Branch
of
a branch.
Yeah, my brother, they're big stockholders and that thing. But she found two squash, she's going to plant them. That's them.
I'm going to have supper for me and you.
No, I
got it.
Wait, it'll get through.
I got it ready.
See, I had some work to do at Mickey Nokia.
Huh?
And I got through quick, and before they get back, oh, the preacher, little, as I say, I never heard that young fella preach. I'm going to, I don't know what kind of preacher. He's one of the best people I've ever known. He and my girl, Joyce's mother. And they're having some sort of big kadoo. And Dawn Hollifield, I don't know, you probably know Cecil Hollifield. He keeps all your IBM equipment up. And we just got Cecil out of the hospital. He had his gallbladder took out. So they're having some sort of breakdown for them. So they'll have supper cooked.
At Mickey Nokia?
No, at Gainesville. I had some work to do with Mickey Nokia, see, and I got through in time. Troy Blakely, you may know Troy. He wants to convert something he's got with an outfit in Atlanta into a more high yield. But,
I don't have any idea what you've been mumbling about over there.
Yeah, I lost you.
Yes.
Well, Troy's company at Mickey Nokia. Now, he works, I see, with a company that used to have profit sharing. Like, see, his robot. They're discontinuing. They're going to pay him a lump sum cash.
Yeah.
He's got some investments in an outfit in Atlanta. He wants to look at something to pay him a higher yield.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing with Troy. But his wife's either sick or something. But she
are in the finance business.
Been in it for years and years, Doc. A little bit of everything. I do a lot of building, too. But as I say, that's what I say. I let Chief and think that's my front. See, they think I'm in the Benny Pill business.
Yeah.
So I said to the truck, what do you know about a Benny Pill? Look at that. Oh, did she flip her whole card up where I got a glimpse? Guess we'll turn over, honey. You done exposed your old card. I know what.
I haven't heard that term either.
Benny Pills? Yeah. It's a Benzedrine thing. That's where it got its name.
Yeah.
You never heard of a West Coast turnaround?
No.
Well, these truck drivers can take one of those all the way to the West Coast, turn around, come back, never sleep. It's a keeps you awake pill. And then the Belita business, well, the sheriff's got that, so that's numbers racket. Do y'all don't sell numbers out that camp?
Mostly
pills. Mostly pills.
Don't worry about the numbers.
Don't worry about it. If you hit, they pay at 61, you know. Buy a number for a dollar. And if you win, you get $60. Well, you remember reading about J.C. Rain getting caught in a while back? Mr. Phil Fox, all those fellas. I've never seen one. I wouldn't know one if I see it. And I wouldn't know a Benny Pill if I see it. But I let them think what they will see.
Yeah.
Sit around there and they don't ever catch you working much.
Yeah.
You don't get up and go to work at 8 o'clock, knock off at 5.
Yeah.
And they wonder what the hell you do to make a living.
Yeah.
Don't know nobody. And the little town, they used to say, when you live in a little town, it's very nice. You don't have much to do.
Yeah.
Your friends, your girlfriends especially, will spend your money for you. Your neighbors will tend to your business for you. That don't leave you much to do. You
Well, you stay in Chiefland just as much as you can get away with it. And then you
I stay on the road a whole lot. Yeah. And leave town. That's what they love going. They used to think of the moonshot business. But there again, I wouldn't know a thumper from a Jimmy John.
I'm going to find out. I haven't given up yet.
Find out what?
Moonshine business.
Charlie will tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
You put you in business.
Yeah.
If you won't set a still up out there. I guarantee you, Tommy Dean will put you in jail. Tommy's
well,
rough.
This syrup making, you see, the skimmings off of that. You ought to have saw
Well, that's pretty rough drinking. We used to drink that when these kids doing coon and possum hunting, you know.
You better set them.
Well, if you let that buck set, see, down at the bottom, all you set a bit will rise to the top.
Yeah.
And it's ready to draw then, so you've got your hole below. You start at the bunghole first, and you draw it down. You keep drawing it. It's just as clear as any beer you ever saw.
Yeah.
Got a good taste to it, and it'll get you just as drunk as... It's a whole lot drunker than Slits will, because it's got more authority to it.
Yeah.
Now, you drink about a quarter of that, you know, and you get out on a cold, frosty night, and your dog's running around out there on a moonlight night. You can tell, sit around a campfire. You can tell some of the biggest lies you ever heard.
Yeah. Now, how'd the preacher get into that?
Oh, I was talking about the gardening. The preacher and my brother are putting the garden in.
No, Ed McAnopy.
He didn't.
Well, up at Gainesville.
He didn't. Oh, that's a little bad. The other little preacher. They're having the dinner at Trenton for a group. And they all going to bring, at Wilcox, they all going to bring dinner back up here, see.
Oh.
And bring supper, I mean.
Oh.
And, then there'll be a bunch stay down there that won't come, and there'll be several up here that I'm not invited, I'm requested to be there.
But he's a pretty nice little preacher?
I say I've never heard him preach. He's a nice man. He's a good man.
Yeah.
He's a good neighbor. And he teaches school, really. He and his wife both. They teach in Trenton High School.
Oh,
and he preaches on the side, and he runs the church along with it. He and Joyce's mother, she's the big wheel, and she works at the university up finance and accounting. It's that telephone you call in.
Yeah.
A bunch up there, Target Hall.
Well, that just about gets in the whole territory, doesn't it?
Gets you.
Now, did Joyce keep in touch with all those people you know?
She's down at Trent. She's bringing them back.
Yeah.
The ones that's come.
Well, does she knock around from one place to
another? No. She works from 8 to 5.
She just...
And I come by there every once in a while.
This particular time, she's...
See, her mother lives at Wilcox. She's a deaconess in this church. And she goes also in the upholstery business.
Her mother?
Mm-hmm. She's a rough character in herself. Used to be, but she's a very staunch Christian now. She don't cuss, she don't smoke. She used to smoke more than I did.
Oh, really?
And she will gossip a little bit, though, long and long.
Well, what else did they talk about?
Well, that's what I done like my three preacher buddies back down a year ago. They was out in the middle of a lake of fishing. There's a Baptist, a Methodist, and a Presbyterian out there. One of them says to the other, and says, you know, we teach that you have to confess your shortcomings and sins before men, and, you know, we can't afford to do that. According to our profession, we just can't do it, not out in the open, but I know we all got them. We're human. I was just thinking, this is a pretty good time to do it. Out right in the middle of this lake, sure can't nobody over here else but us. The old Baptist preacher says, Brother John, I think you got a good idea, and I'm going to start first. Just because I've been having something that's gnawing on me for years. Because I got one of the worst weaknesses I ever had in this winter. Because you know these big meetings I'm supposed to go to and stay going a month at the time. So I ain't going to no church meeting. I'm up at Jacksonville. And I have to stay to get it out of my system and come on back. So Presbyterian preacher says, Brother John, that's bad, but I got one just as bad. Says, and it's whiskey. Says, you know these meetings that I go to, supposed to? I ain't on no church meeting. I'm right up at Jacksonville, sank up in a hotel drunk. I got to stay there and get it out of my system and come on back. That little Presbyterian preacher, he's getting the oars up in his hand, you know, getting ready to go. He says, hold it now, Jim. We know you got a shortcoming too. It's your turn. He says, boys, I have, and it's bad, and I want y'all to pray for me, and it's gossip. And I just got to get... Start telling for old Robert a joke in that preacher. He likes a good part. But he just said, Lord, please forgive me for what I'm about to receive. somebody says, you know everybody done. I said, yeah, I do, but that ain't where the, that's not what makes it tough. They all know me, too. I do make it rough.
Yeah.
Ho, ho. Sure does get dark late, don't get late early, though. I mean, get... You know, sneaking in there getting another smoke.
Yeah, that old breakfast coffee. It keeps hanging around. Keeps
breakfast coffee.
Yeah,
it
keeps after.
Well, they're not going to give me the trunk key, so I'll go. You got plenty of butter beans, is it?
You don't have butter beans. You might find some. I don't
believe you've
got some squash, maybe.
I mean, what's his name? Cecil.
Hardy.
How about okra?
No. Oh, he's got all that. He didn't get all that.
Yeah.
Didn't get hit.
No, he gave us a few beets.
Some beets.
And
have all
about three carrots.
Enough okra to fry.
But he's got enough. He's got enough.
Who
has?
He's selling that, though. I go out there, I'd have to pay for it. That's I'll send y'all out. And I was old Cecil. I can remember them parties. How old is
he? He's been there, he said, 40 years.
He's got a pair of skimpy shorts, and he'll just load your cart up, and then I'll be there. He can still dream. It'll do him no good, but if... Poor reprobate, I remember them parties.
Well, I thought I'd see where his children were. Why, hell, he got children all over the United States.
Yeah.
I got so confused. I brought it up. He got a boy in the appliance business, makes $20,000 a year down at Ocala.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he keeps going, you see. And you just wish he'd run out of youngin'.
That's them. that's them to speak of.
Yeah.
After you get into them that he don't speak of. He'll tell him what.
He mentioned 76 relations.
Yeah.
76.
Children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, cousins.
Yeah.
14 great grandchildren. Yeah.
Mm. Can you imagine?
How old is that old character?
I don't know. He must be 70. He's in good shape. You know,
I mean,
you gotta look real old.
Oh, yeah. That old man he's talking about. He's in good shape. That must be a little duck down there. And I'm never gonna die.
When are you going to cook? Where do you live?
Gainesville.
I'm not curious. Just want to know your street number and what time. And what time you going to cook?
Well,
I tell you what, the best place is right out here. You can run into them right out here. In town, there's not much going on.
I didn't see them cooking nothing out here.
Oh, well,
yeah,
sometimes we come out.
They cook right out there.
It's crazy.
What do you cook out there?
Well, before we had vegetables, we cooked wieners. Yeah.
Oh, they're original, ain't they?
That's just emergency, right?
Emergency.
You get hungry. Now I got squash and greens and I know how to cook all that.
You did. Where was you living?
I learned from Jim's mother.
Oh, from Jim's mother.
What's Harrison doing? And
he's piddling around. Well, doing a little mechanicing for these bloated bondholders. Millionaires around here. Yeah, he finished water. He worked on Walter Beach's car day before yesterday, I believe.
And keeping out of sight?
Kind of keeping out of sight. Go out fat boys about 1:30.
Yeah.
He eats out.
Well, I've never done that.
Well, you ought to get out there. That's a bunch of old. I haven't seen an old man.
Well, now, let me tell you, Gorman. It looked to me like there at the base station, he just hung around there and just let himself in for a whole lot of trouble.
Too Harrison?
Yes.
He knew what he used to do. Picking up a lot of good work. He don't like to work no more. He's the best mechanic ever come out of this country. But he wants to make it the easy way. Tune-up job or something like that.
Yeah.
season these people get tired of Johnny Briggs and boys messing around, messing their cars up, they'll hunt up Harrison. He'll straighten it out. And,
well, that's it.
They don't mind paying the bill.
Well, now, he got to have some place they can find him.
The ones he wants to find, he knows where to find him. And he's got to be an exclusive specialist. He's down on the river now. He's got his house trailer down there. Manatee Springs State Park.
Oh, yeah.
His little girl. He heard that on the weekend.
Yeah.
He'll be back Monday.
Yeah.
What you need done, I'll make him come out here and do it.
I don't need... Oh, hell, all this I have to do is just low-class work. Just some
Sorry, I'll let him do for me. It's high class, but he gets low class pay.
Hard fishing mechanic is what I need.
He ain't gonna do that.
Well, let me tell you.
Like overhauling that truck.
He not gonna do that?
No.
Well, let me tell you. If I could get a mechanic who would sort of overlook it,
you could do
it. I could do it right smart of it. And I can't depend on these mechanics.
How about Cookie?
He quit business 6 months ago.
He gets like Harrison. He don't want to get his hands dirty.
He hadn't done anything to me for 6 months.
Yeah.
No.
That machine, unless it's got awful bad, it's run pretty good when you run down the field with it. Runs faster. As I say, if you lose it, have you had a compression check on it?
Yeah.
What if you change the plugs in? I'm not kidding you, Doc. If you let that oil get, what happens?
Yeah.
Your rings will freeze.
Yeah.
And you're not getting compression there. If you don't keep your oil changed, especially in anything, keep clean oil in it.
Yeah.
Those rings will set, and they don't expand, and you're getting a lot of blow-by.
Well, let me tell you what. You come out here someday, and you just sit there and supervise it, and I'll do the work. And
there ain't no work to that.
We'll
oil plug out, put fresh oil in, put your can of high rev in there before you change your oil. That'll clean all that corrosion out of there.
Yeah.
Run it 10 or 15 minutes, and then change your oil, and check if you got bad plugs. That'll cause it to not work too good. You need good plugs.
Well,
see a farm tractor, you're getting a lot of
dirt.
Silt and dirt. You know,
all the time.
And you need a good filter, and you need to clean that oil.
Well, let me tell you, there's, of all the mechanics around here, there's not any of them I can call on and count on them being there.
No, you can't anyway.
Or taking...
Especially on a farm tractor.
Paying any attention to it.
But,